See, this is reel six that we're on, I think. I wonder whether you had much contact with, I don't know, thinking of all of your experiences on the Western Front and the kind of things that you were ordered to do, is there any particular thing that sticks in your mind which at the time you were critical of?
Yes,
What
I've
was that?
told you one in particular. An inspection of troops the afternoon before going up to the line after three or 4 days so-called rest.
Yeah. Did this happen? Was this a regular occurrence?
No, it was
No.
an isolated incident.
Was there anything else about the way you were treated or the fighting you were involved in which at the time you felt didn't make sense?
No, I think the officers, NCOs, as far as the frontline people were concerned, they'd done the best they could under the circumstances then prevailing.
Yeah.
What happened at headquarters and further back, I've read about,
Yeah.
but I think they're the people that made the mistakes because they hadn't contact
Yeah.
enough with the frontline troops.
Well, that leads on to another question I wanted to ask you. In your experience on the Western Front in 1915 and in 1918, did you often see staff officers in the front lines?
No. No.
Were there any occasions when you came into contact with staff?
Yes, but not actually in the front line. I never, in my, I'm not, now don't think I'm saying they never did go there.
Oh no, I'm just asking
I never
your
saw
memories.
one.
You didn't,
I never saw one. I've seen red caps near the, when I say red caps, you might think I mean
No,
MPs,
I know what you mean.
but the staff officers, I've seen them on our various movements to and from the front, but never did meet a staff officer in the front line.
Did you have any contact with the staff officers at
Personally,
all?
no.
You didn't find. What about the chaplains? Did you ever see them in the front lines?
I never met a chaplain in the front line in my life. That don't mean they weren't there, but I were in what actions I were in were so isolated, excepting there should, I do think, looking back now, I'd never thought of such a thing. Looking back, I think there should have been a padre make occasional visits to the trenches on the Lowe's Front, Hullet, Lowe's Front in 1915.
Do you have
I
any?
don't think, I think they must have reserved their, but I never went to a service on the Western Front.
What do you think that the general attitude was amongst the troops, amongst the men, to the chaplains?
Well, I never come in contact with them according to what we've read and that I never did meet him. But we'll refer to Woodbine Willie, which we've all heard about. I should imagine they were much of a muchness, as far as parsons go. I think they're much like you and I. Again, there may be exceptions, the same as there are, and always will be in every kind of industry. But you're asking me a specific question.
That's
Did I
right.
ever meet a parson, padre, we call them, in the front line? The answer is definitely no. It doesn't mean they
No,
didn't
no,
come there.
no. All we're talking about is your
That's
memories and
right.
your experiences.
Yes.
As far as you are personally concerned, did your experiences of the war affect your attitude to religion in any way?
No, not one iota. The only thing that is contradictory is, of course, I was brought up as a Baptist and had to go to Baptist Sunday school every Sunday morning. If I didn't, I'd get a hiding. Well, I didn't. We didn't. It didn't come to that because we had to go at that time. Pity there aren't more.
Another question which interests me is, could you give me any idea of what the general attitude amongst the troops was towards the senior army commanders?
Well, I think most of what was said according to the circumstances of the times. The troops themselves, well, they had no direct contact with the higher command people, and so what their opinion was whether you're in good conditions or bad, you blame the ones at the top.
Yeah.
I don't think I can give you an opinion. I had none. I was never under a commander that I considered incapable or otherwise, yeah, accepting. You are talking about the higher command, aren't
you? Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've never been in a position to know whether they done right or wrong.
Yeah.
I disagreed entirely with the actual conduct of the higher command, of throwing lives away for nothing.
Yeah. At the time that these things were going on, do you remember whether there were any particular criticisms of the way the war was being conducted?
Oh, yes. Why the hell are we here? We might as well stop. Well, no. I should think to get a better answer to that question, you'd be far better to see and get the answers from people that did survive the particular...
Coming on to the sort of lighter side of the war, what kind of recreation did,
well,
did you
wherever
have?
You were, even to begin with, ETAPS, sorry, when we got to the first camp in 1915, we just pigged in at Belong one night, then in train for ETAPS the next day. Well, there was a canteen there. That was a reception camp for the division, 12th Division, I was in then.
Yeah.
And then we were only there a day or two, then up hit the trucks and up the line, join your regiment, where we were destined for. There was entertainment, what you made yourself.
What kind of things would you make?
Well, I've mentioned one, your crown and anchor board. You'd have a sing-song in the canteen, and they'd be rather rough songs, which I wouldn't like to take my wife to, and so
yeah.
on. But there was general enjoyment wherever there was opportunity to have it.
Can you remember some of the songs which were
Oh, dear,
popular?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. You ain't got that thing on it yet?
Oh, yes.
No,
yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
Did the troops at the front... did the troops at the front, when you were there in France in 15 and 18, hear many rumours about the kind of things that were happening at home?
No. You would hear someone had had a letter, of course, I mean, we didn't get many, and they were the whole theme was the married men, especially. I was married when I went out the second time,
yeah,
but not the first time. But it was either my poor mother or my poor wife and kids and so on, you know. But I don't think there was anything that you could...
So when you first got out there, there was a great deal of the shock of
indeed,
hearing all of
these. Indeed, indeed there yeah. was. And then again, when you got to the line, I got up to the line, at night, any movement, well, you'd got to drop down wherever you were, mud or well, it was all mud, there was nothing else, more, whether it was more or less mud, when the star shells come over. I mean, our people weren't equipped. Now, you're talking about being satisfied with higher command. I don't think it was their fault. We just hadn't got the things that the Jerrys had prepared. Our very lights weren't a patch with them. They were like our very lights, if we had any. It was a pistol you fired, you heard of them. They were like comparing a horn lantern to a Jerry having an electric bulb. And insofar as those things are concerned, we were inferior.
What other kinds of things were you inferior in? Any other examples apart from the very lights?
I just can't... we certainly, in the sector I was in, we had one. No, this is a general terms.
Mm.
One trench mortar to their five, which was not too good, was it?
No, I see, yeah, that's a problem.
And fire it, unless you've got a real objective. Well, they were firing it without an objective because nobody dare put their heads up during the day. They knew we were there. Weather, because I mean, your observation balloons, they didn't rain long. Well, they weren't much good. They were up there. They were targets.
Mm.
They were targets. Mm. But there again, the man in the trenches,
mm.
he could only say, well, hell, there was a balloon so in such and such direction. Yesterday, where is it? Well, that was Darren, evidently.
Yeah. In this period in France, when you were serving there in 15 as an infantry soldier,
yeah.
when you had your first experiences of going over the top...
Yeah. We didn't go over the top.
You didn't go over the top?
No, we only made... The Battle of Loos was over.
Mm, I see.
The Battle of Loos was over. It was more or less a static job.
Let's say something about these rest periods. Now, you've explained that... the normal procedure was that you'd be 4 days in the front and then 8 days in the reserve areas.
That's right.
Tell me again a bit more about what would happen to you after you were taken out of the French line.
Well,
front line.
In reserve, we were in an old... There was a big old brewery at Vermills. We used to sneak away at night and go into the village and buy a loaf of Dupain bread, you know, the long concertina loaf, which was a great change.
Mm-hmm.
And... there, during the day, it was more or less kick a football about or do some jumping, this physical training. They would have a parade, try and make a soldierly job of it, until all at once, what, run, scatter, down the cellars. And you were comparatively clear there. And that could be interrupted 3 times in the morning.
Mm. When you came out of the trenches...
And it was more or less a lark.
Yeah. When you came out of the trenches and you were all muddy and lousy,
yeah.
what would be done to try and clean you up a bit?
Well, you'd done the best you could. I tell you, you couldn't. There was nothing. Nothing you could do except... And, blast, that was winter time. There was nothing you could do except... stripped down as well as you could in these old cellar, underground cellars, a brewery. There was nothing left, there wasn't a brick left above the ground at all. You ducked down these old cellars, but they were more or less light shell proof, shall I say. How long they remained, so I don't know. I never saw them after that, after I left there. But you would get there was old Dixies and all sorts of things lying about the dumps. You'd have a wash to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
And if you'd got, we had. Sometimes, a spare shirt in the pack. Well, you'd have braziers down there, you'd get some wood and light a fire, you'd dry something, and you'd have the change to the best of your ability, and have a shave, which you hadn't had those 4 days you were up the line at all.
Would you be
because we didn't grow much, God blimey. If we'd had a good old cat, that'd have done better than any razor.
Would you get... Would you get any new equipment or new clothing?
Oh, yes, as I said, we would occasionally get a change of shirt, new shirts. And sometimes we got the old army greys, which were good.
Those are the socks?
No, the shirts, the old army greys shirts we'd get.
Yeah.
They were real good and warm.
Yeah.
Flannel.
Yeah.
A type of flannel.
Were these periods in reserve a pretty good rest? Or did they keep you busy with things?
Oh, they kept you mostly busy. They'd be sent... After all, when we were down at Salle la Bourse, they'd sometimes send you off up to move a dump. You know, There were dumps there. It's indescribable. But on one occasion, we found one of these dumps really handy. I went out to the front line to draw rations at Vermills. That was as far as the mules or the limbers could come, you see. And we had to walk up the communication trenches so far, and then we'd get on the top, and we got to know the direction. And you'd go on the top until the star shell came up, you'd lay down, and when that went left, lay down, away you go. And on one occasion, the streets were, of course, the streets, I say, they were streets in the village of Vermills. Drew rations, sandbag of bread, and I've told you, a bit of meat in one, 2 minute tins of bully beef. If there was McConaughey, go, blow, we've got to McConaughey. Hmm. This time, there, we liked it. And on one occasion, this chap, the corporal, Valentine, he went with me to get the rations. He'd got a couple of sandbags, I'd got a couple of sandbags. And got some ammunition. And so we'd got all we could carry. And all at once I said, "Val, take this bag of rooty bread." "Why am I not lost?" He said, "I've got all I can." I said, "Come on, take it." "What the hell do you mean?" I said, "I believe I've got a bottle of rum here." I'd kicked up against this on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a jar of rum, a stone jar of rum. Excepting from the point of view of training people to keep their eyes and be on alert when they got where the enemy were.
Yeah. In this period, back at Felixstowe, when you were doing this general guard duty...
It was a waste of time.
Yeah. What sort of things were you guarding, in fact?
Well, what the authorities that be considered vulnerable points.
What were they?
Well, roads, from, after all, at that time I was down at Old Felixstowe, and that was near the estuary, Bordsey, and you wouldn't